We start a new series tonight on hearing God, and we're going to embark on a bit of a journey. So what we're going to talk about tonight is not going to cover every aspect of what it means to hear God, or how we hear God, or the different ways in which God speaks. So don't be freaking out, okay? And don't think that, oh, Bill didn't tell us how to do this or that. We want to make this a bit of a journey so we can really get into the depths of each subject each week, okay? So that's really our plan for this. To some, the phrase hearing God can mean one thing. If you've been brought up in a Pentecostal church or a charismatic church, you've probably been used to this phrase. Do you know, I was listening to God, or God said this or said that, and you're used to that sort of terminology. To others, the phrase hearing God means just reading your Bible and doing what it says. And to other people, the phrase hearing God actually strikes fear into their hearts, because they think that sometimes certain Christians just tag that phrase onto the end of things to blame God on weird and wacky stuff. So you've all come from different backgrounds and different perspectives and different experiences. So whatever spectrum you, wherever you find yourself on the spectrum of what that you understand that phrase to mean, hopefully this is going to unpack some of what it actually means to hear God. We all approach this stuff from different backgrounds, and it's really our heart as pastors to really avoid being mystical and otherworldly. You will know what that means, because when we come to this sort of stuff, it can sound like, what on earth was that about? What does it actually mean to hear God? And you can kind of get lost in a lot of the jargon that's used when you talk about this stuff, but that's not our hearts at all. We really want to be intentional and simple and practical and help us grow together in what this stuff means so we can put it into practice. And very simply, just be and become the people of God who know our shepherd's voice and learn to follow him. That's really what it comes down to. The simple, where the rubber hits the road, hear the master's voice, and as his sheep, learn to follow him. That's really what we want to do. So tonight is a bit of the groundwork. Some things we need to put in place before we start on this journey together. Some things we must clarify in our minds. And the first thing is this. Hopefully this brings you encouragement. It's a bit of a negative, but hopefully it brings you encouragement. We all struggle to hear God clearly. Okay, so I'm going to say, both hands up, I struggle to hear God clearly all the time. Every single one of us do. And those people who say, oh, I heard God say this, and he showed me the car parking space when I went into Sainsbury's, and, you know, he told me the lottery numbers, or, do you know, I heard God that clearly. Well, they wouldn't say that, but if they're telling you that they have heard every single thing clearly and they understand it to be 100% God, I would say they need help with certain other aspects of their character, because all of us struggle to hear God perfectly all of the time. All of us. So if you're in here tonight, that's going to be your experience too. There's going to be a bit of a wrestle going, was that God? Did God say that? Did I hear God speak? Did God tell me to go there or do this or take that job or whatever? All of us will wrestle with that. It's not easy for any of us. What we're going to look at tonight and over the next few weeks is the ideal of where we want to move towards, but it's not, we're not there yet. None of us are there yet. We all have ways in which we can grow. So we're all growing to become more in tune with what God's saying and walk closer with him. So please don't feel like you're left out and you're a failure because you haven't got all this stuff wrapped up. Even if you've been on the road a long, long time, there's still areas of growth in your life. See, some people will come and say, I hear God speak every day. It's really easy for me. You know, I carry the big Bible and, you know, I just hear God and he speaks to me and I just know exactly what he's saying. But sometimes that's not quite the reality of their experience or even our experience. So just let me settle that just. And what is the reason for that? Why is that the case? Well, there's so much distortion. The sin that we have been born into as sinful individuals, and because of our father Adam's sin and Eve's sin and rejection of God, there was something that brought distortion into the fellowship that they enjoyed. See, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve walked with God, there was fellowship, there was conversation, there was this discussion that went on, and it was just beautiful and it was pure, and there was open communication between Adam and Eve and between Adam and Eve and God as well. But because of sin, there was this distortion that came into the garden. And what happens in Genesis 3, we read about there, is that whenever sin comes, The voices that brought comfort and love and affirmation and togetherness, the voices become hostile. There begins to be accusation. And actually, God himself, when he walks in the garden in the cool of the day, Genesis puts it in the Hebrew text that the voice of God walked in the garden. But when the voice of God walked in the garden after sin, what happened? They feared. They were afraid of that voice. That voice that brought that such lovely communion and fellowship before the fall. After the fall, it was distorted. And there was fear that came when that voice came also. And then remember Adam and Eve, what they did? They begin to accuse one another. Oh, it was his fault. It was her fault. She did this. She did that. And we still see some of the effects of that today. But distortion came in and kind of disrupted things. If you've got your Bible, we're going to look at another example of how that distortion and the effects of that distortion in humanity in Exodus 20, and we're going to read a couple of verses from there. This is when God gives the Ten Commandments to Israel, and we're just going to read a few verses. Exodus 20, verse 18. So the distortion that comes and causes there to be difficulty in the communication between God and his people. Exodus 20, 18, just three verses. It says, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stared at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Now, just picture the scene in Exodus there. God has delivered his people from slavery. He has brought them out into the wilderness. And what was the purpose he brought them out? So that they would worship him, so that they would enjoy fellowship with God. He was delivering them from Pharaoh so he could make them his people. He could show them how to live. And he was in the process of giving them instructions of how they were to live so that they could come close to him. But yet, here we have a picture where Moses is the only one who gets close. Because the voice and the picture of what's happening at Sinai terrifies the rest of the people. The voice that was bringing instructions of how the people were to live in fellowship with God actually caused them to fear and live in terror. And Moses made his way up the mountain, got the instructions. The people said it there, you know, you speak to us, Moses, but don't have God speak to us or we're going to die. But God was the same God who had delivered them the whole way. So this distortion of sin had caused this fear to take hold of their hearts. And even if you read on later on, I think it's around Exodus 30 to 34, you read about Moses as the one who goes and fellowships intimately with God, where he knows the conversation, he talks to God, and all the rest of the people, they stay in their tents and they watch. Because this sin has brought this distortion amongst the people, and the conversation is no longer open in the way that it should have been, in the way it was before the fall. It's just an example of how the distortion takes place. So that's one of our problems, why we struggle to hear God, because we live in a sinful world, and we are sinful people, and that distortion brings this difficulty. And there's also so many voices in our world today. I don't know about you, but there's so much noise, isn't there? There's noise from, you know, in our family environment. We have lovely conversations, but often there can be a bit of difficulty if you live in a real family, in a real home with real people. There can be those conversations that happen aren't really that nice. And there's so many voices. You should do this. You should have done that. You should do the other thing. You have people from outside telling you what you should do all the time. We pick up our phones and we look at our emails and look at our texts and we've got more things to worry about. And on and on and on and on it goes. And the world around us is constantly bombarding us with information about what we should be, what we should do, and where we should go. So we have this clamor of voices everywhere we look. So that's another difficulty in the world that we live. There's so many voices. So you have distortion, you have so many voices. But there's also this one, and this one's probably a bit of a personal challenge. There's so much pride in us. There's pride because we think we can do it all on our own, and we don't need to ask for help. We struggle to ask our peers for help. We struggle to ask our family for help. And as Christians, worst of all, we struggle to ask God for help sometimes, or we struggle to ask him to speak to us because we go, oh, we've got it. We've got it sorted. And how many know just a few steps down the road, we realize we haven't got it sorted at all. So there's pride in our own hearts that causes us this difficulty when it comes to hearing God. And another one that I feel is massive in our day, we don't feel we have enough time. Time just seems to go like that. You sit down and you think, I'll put my feet up for a couple of minutes. And then the next thing you know, there are hours have gone by where you've wasted time. You're running from here to there, the other place. We feel like we haven't got enough time. These are the difficulties we face in our world. And maybe some of these are more relevant to you than others, but they're all relevant for some of us here tonight, or for all of us here tonight. So we have difficulties, all of us. We struggle to hear God clearly. But this is the second point. God is speaking. God is speaking. He is communicating. He is talking. He is wanting us to hear what he's got to say, because it's the very nature of God to speak. It's the very nature of God to speak. Go with me, if you would, please, to Genesis 1. Quickly there, just the first book of the Bible, Genesis 1. I'm going to read a few of those awesome verses from that first chapter of the Bible, the chapter of beginnings. I love reading Genesis. Where do you hear these words? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering on the waters. Picture that ancient scene. The darkness, the void, the stillness. Well, some people say the chaos, where there was nothing. But then we read here in Genesis 1 verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So God, at the very beginning of creation, brings creation into existence by his word. He's a creating God because he's a speaking God. If you go into the New Testament, we'll go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, nearly at the end of the scriptures. Go there with me, if you would. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Give you a couple of seconds to find it there. So everything starts with God speaking. He speaks and everything comes into existence. But also everything continues and holds together by his word also. Because Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. He sustains all things by his powerful word. So God creates all things in the beginning by his word, but then he also sustains things by his word, by his powerful word and powerful voice. And also then, let me just read this out to you. So everything starts, everything keeps going because of his word, but everything will come to a conclusion with his word also. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a shout, with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. See, our God, what scripture is trying to communicate to us is our God is a speaking God. That's what he does. That's his nature. That's his character. He will always be that. And there's this contrast we find in the Old Testament between the true God, the one true God, Yahweh, and the false gods of the Canaanite religions. Those gods who are made out of wood and stone and precious metal. And we see this contrast in Psalms and in the prophets. You read this lots of times where it talks about those idols being mute idols. They don't speak. They don't respond. They don't do anything. There's no life in them, but the true God speaks. That's the difference. That's how he is different from those gods of the Old Testament or those so-called gods. We remember that story, really, really great story from 1 Kings 18 when Elijah stands at Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal are trying to get their God to answer, but this is what is recorded about that in 1 Kings 18:26. It says that the prophets of Baal, they took an ox which was given them and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. Oh, Baal, answer us. But listen to these words. But there was no voice and no one answered, and they leaped about the altar which they had made. See, this is the difference between our God and the gods of the world or the people or the things that the world worships. Our God is living. And our God speaks, and our God answers, and our God talks and communes with his creation and also with his people. See, that's the nature of our God. And sometimes, to our detriment, we live as if our God doesn't speak. We live as if we just get on with things. He sets us in motion and we just work away, but he doesn't commune with us. But that's not the nature of our God at all. See, some Christians even want to say that God no longer speaks. He has said all he needs to say in Scripture, and they're great brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe they're Christian. I believe they've come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but they have this idea that God no longer speaks beyond what the Bible says. They say that the Bible is the complete revelation of God, and if we seek to hear God's voice beyond that, then we're going to run into difficulty, and that's dangerous at best, but it's heretical at worst. But what's really interesting about that approach, and interesting is me being very kind, what is very interesting about that approach is that the Bible says nothing of God stopping speaking. So the very thing that's meant to be the complete, fulfilled, ultimate, no more, God's not going to say anything more, complete revelation of God, all he is and all he will ever say, it says nothing of this speaking God stopping speaking. Which seems a bit, if we were in the 90s, someone would put on Alanis Morissette. Isn't it ironic? That is ironic. Maybe some of you don't even know who that was. It's an old song, and that's what the title of it was, Isn't It Ironic? And it is ironic that the people who say God no longer speaks because the Bible is everything that God has ever wanted to say, it says nothing of God stopping speaking. So that's important because that can influence us sometimes and cause us to be afraid about asking God to speak. Now, we believe that the Bible is the infallible, inspired word of God here. We preach from it every single Sunday, every single service it is opened. We totally hold to that. We totally believe that. God will never say anything that contradicts what he has already said. Okay, so let's clarify that, because if you say that God said something and you can't find evidence for it in Scripture or even a principle for it in Scripture, you are on dangerous ground. God will never say anything that contradicts his written word, but what he does do is bring direct illumination to what he has already said. He brings freedom, he brings direction, he speaks in accordance with what he has already said. But God still does speak. God still brings those times of direct direction for his children. And we often miss this when we're talking about the Bible in this regard. The Bible is a written record of what God has already said in the past. It was not given to the saints of old in book form. It was given through God's very voice to his people. And the people wrote it down as to take record of what he had said in the past. That was how we come to have the very written word of God. He communicated to his people, and the people took record of what he had said, and that's how we have Scripture today. See, this points to the nature of God being a speaking God. Now, we shouldn't have any trouble. We're going to just talk about that briefly in just a while, but we're also going to, we're dedicating 2 weeks to that, Alistair, on how God speaks through his word. So please don't hear that as, oh, the Bible doesn't matter. The Bible matters immensely. The Bible matters so, so much in the whole aspect of God speaking, and we'll mention that later, but later on in the series, we're going to unpack what that means even more. But the first two things we've looked at, the fact that we all have difficulty in this area, we all experience difficulty in hearing God clearly, and the fact that God is speaking should be pretty much, we should all be able to go, okay, Bill, I agree with that, but this next part is probably where the rubber hits the road. See, it's all right for us to say that God speaks, but this next part is God wants to speak to us as individuals. And this is where it gets a bit tricky because we have personal responsibility here. It's all right as a Christian to say, oh, God speaks. It's great that God speaks. But what about us as individuals? And I want to tell you tonight, that God wants and desires to speak to you as a Christian. God wants to communicate with you things about life, things about where you should go and what you should do with your life, your purpose, who you are in him. He wants to communicate with you personally. I don't know if anyone in here is maybe boring enough like me to enjoy crime dramas. Do you know those crime dramas that are on TV and Channel 3 and the like? That is really boring. I sound so old. But do you know those crime dramas where the person who is is a suspect in something gets put in the wee room and the people go in and they ask them questions, they try to break them down, they throw all sorts of accusations. They do all they can to try to get that person to speak and to communicate and to tell what has actually gone on. We all know, probably all know what that's like. And they do everything they can. They shout, they yell, they maybe throw a chair at them, whatever it may be. If it's a decent one, they'll not do that. But if that's the case, but sometimes we approach God as his children, as if that's what God is like, where we have to shout, we have to yell, we have to stress, we have to strain, we have to do something really special to really get God to communicate with us as his children. But that's not the case at all. God actually wants to talk and communicate with us. He actually desires that. That's his heart. His very nature is to speak. And for us as his beloved children, his desire for us is that we know his voice and we follow him. We don't have to try to twist his arm up his back. We don't have to be like the prophets of Baal who dance around and cut themselves and scream and yell all day and say, please, please speak. Our God is not like that. In fact, when you hear God responding to his children in Scripture, the prayers are generally very simple, very matter-of-fact, straight to the point. Lord, I need you. Peter, please save me, Lord. Here you go. Why did you doubt? Do you know, this is how it looks. When on Mount Carmel, when Elijah was going to speak to God, he didn't work everything up. He said a few lines. God, answer so that these people know that you're God and I'm your prophet. That's basically what he said, and God answered. See, we don't have to twist God's arm up his back to try to get him to speak. He wants to speak. He wants to communicate because we're his people. And that's something we need to settle in our minds, because a lot of our striving and straining in this area is in that regard. And in the back of our minds, we think, God doesn't really, he'd never want to communicate with me. That's part of our problem, I think, part of our difficulty. Share a personal story to maybe help you in this way. It wasn't until I was 16 that I heard the truth that God actually wanted to speak to me. It wasn't until I was 16 that I heard that, where my leaders encouraged me and said, Bill, God actually wants to talk to you too. Because in my Christian experience up to that point, I had heard this kind of this Old Testament kind of mindset promoted as if it was the truth. And it was something along these lines. In fact, these were the actual lines. If God is going to speak, he will speak through me. That was what my pastor had said. So all my Christian life up to that point, I thought that God communicating, he would only do it through the very special people. He'd only talk to those who were really spiritual or those who were on the platform. And it wasn't until I was 16 that I heard otherwise. So I had lived my Christian life up to that point thinking that. When I got out of that environment, that in an Old Testament type of mindset, and moved into this new church environment, the people around me really said, Bill, God could talk to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to us all as his children. Do you know, it wasn't that the place I was now in was more spiritual than the last. It was just they had got this understanding that God is not just about communicating to the select few, but actually it's his heart for all of his children. And in that environment, I discovered for the first time that we can be open to the voice of God and we can hear him speak. Now, that doesn't mean that it's always audible. That doesn't mean that it's always lightning and lightning bolts from the sky or handwriting on the wall. It's not all often like that. And to say not often, the reality is it's hardly ever like that. It's most of the time it's very simple. It's an inward impression, or else it's illumination from the scriptures that we're reading. Sometimes it's images in our mind that he wants us to share, but we'll get into that at later stages. So my experience from that point on kind of changed, because I started to believe that God wanted to speak. And it sounds like a subtle shift, but it was massive. It was just a tiny inbreaking of light. And it changed everything about my Christian experience. Changed everything. And as I said, it wasn't always every day that I was in that church environment that God spoke, and you know, and he told me where to go to in Tesco's, or do you know, it wasn't like that every moment of every day, but something changed within me where God did speak, because I believed that he wanted to speak. And that was the big thing that was overcome in those years and in those moments in that church. See, for us in here tonight, that might be the very barrier in your Christian experience to hearing God. Maybe you have been brought up in a context that has said to you, well, God could not want to speak to you because you're not special enough. You're not a pastor. You're not a deacon. You're not an elder. Like, you're not special enough to hear God's words. Why would he ever want to speak to you? But maybe for you tonight, the step that you have to take is just actually believing that God does want to speak to you. And it's a change of your heart, but it'll change everything about your Christian experience. I heard God speak for the first time, really, do you know, in really direct ways in my Christian life, because the environment around me was telling me that this is possible and this is for you today. See, I think that's a massive barrier in Northern Ireland to this stuff. In hearing God for ourselves, just that concept that it's not for me, I'm not special enough, And we're really great at putting ourselves down and putting us in a place that God has never put us before, aren't we, as Northern Irish people? And I think what happens is when you begin to shift your thinking like that and you begin to say, God could want to speak to me, it's kind of what happens is, have you ever been in a busy restaurant where there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of voices and there's a lot of clamor, there's a lot going on around you? And if you're like me from time to time, a wee bit cheeky, but if you're like me, you'll pick up on a conversation that's happening. If it's interesting, if it's about Liverpool or something, and you pick up and you go, what's being said there? And you listen into the conversation and you can hear the words then that's being exchanged between the two people. Well, we live our Christian lives sometimes that we're kind of in this busy restaurant and God is just one of the voices of the many that surround us. But when you begin to change your thinking about God wanting to speak to me, then you begin to hone in on that one voice that begins to sound amongst the clamor. But see, unless you do that intentionally, you'll not hear anything. It'll just be noise and hubbub and racket, and God's voice will just be one of those many voices that are surrounding you that just sound like noise. But if you change your thinking and go, God wants to speak to me, then you begin to hone in on that one voice and you can hear what's going on, and that can be a key in our lives. And that was my personal experience, but just don't take my word for it that God wants to speak to us all. Let's look at a few scriptures together. The promises that God wants to speak to me, we're going to just look at three. There are loads more. Well, turn to Psalm 25, 14, if you would. Psalm 25, 14. Before I read that out, I'm going to read John 10, 27, but we know it, most of us off by heart. I'm going to read first John 10, 27. This is the words of Jesus. And I know these are Roberta's favorite words in all of Scripture. And it says this, John 10, 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you're his child tonight, you're one of his sheep. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I know them, and they follow me. Psalm 25, verse 14, it says there, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes known his covenant to them. The Lord of heaven and earth, who created the world, who sustains the world, who will bring the world to a close, Scripture says, his very words are, he confides in those who fear or respect him. What a privileged position that is. The Lord confides in those who fear him. I love that verse. And just flip over, if you would, Jeremiah 33, verse 2. Jeremiah 33, verse 2. Promises of God here to you. My sheep hear my voice. The Lord confides in those who fear him, which is us. We fear him. We respect him. He makes known his covenant to them. Jeremiah 33, verse 2, the Lord says, thus saith the Lord who made heaven and earth, the Lord who formed it and established it. The Lord is his name. And he says, call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Which you do not know. That's what the Lord's word is to us tonight as his children. Call on me and I will answer you. I will tell you things you do not know. There, that's for us as his children. That's for every single one of us. Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're saved a day or 10 years or 20 years, that's for all of us. That's his promise to us. He wants to do that for us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. We don't know everything. And there are things that we need God to share with us, things about what's on his heart for his world, where he wants us to go. God wants to talk to you because you're his child and we are his people. He saved you. His son died in your place to bring you into a relationship with him. That was why you were saved, to have a relationship with God, to live with him eternally, to live in his plans for you. And how sad would it be if Jesus paid that ultimate price for you to walk in relationship with him and you lived your whole Christian life as if he didn't want to speak to you? Relationship is all about communication. And someone who's a bit of an introvert, Hillary and I have this discussion, friendly discussion out quite a few times where she says, you know, we need to talk, we need to make space, we need to make time to talk together and see for a relationship to grow and to flourish. You need communication. But why is it when we talk about that, we don't apply that same principle to our relationship with God? Why do we think that we can just God just sets us in motion and we just work away the rest of our lives and we never speak. Even though we're going to go to eternity and spend it with him and discover more about him, but we're still thinking in our minds, God doesn't want to speak to me. He saved you. He brought you out of darkness into light so he could fellowship with you, so that that thing that Adam and Eve had in the garden could be restored and be even better than that. So don't live your Christian life as if he's excluded you from the conversation. He hasn't. He wants to speak to you. He paid the ultimate price so that he could know you and that you could be known by him, so that he could communicate with you, he could tell you things that you didn't know. He could lead you into the fullness of life that he has purposed for you. Don't miss that, because it's a massive part of our salvation. Our salvation, as I say often, is not a ticket to heaven away from hell. It's a gateway and a doorway into the very life that God has purposed for us, into a relationship with Almighty God. So let's embrace that. Let's walk in that. Let's live in that. The very nature of relationship is communication. See, God not only speaks, but he wants to speak to us. Can we just say that, actually? God wants to speak to me, because there's some people I know down here are finding even that hard to grasp and hard to believe, even though we've seen it in Scripture. We know it to be true, but there's something in us that's just finding that hard to accept. Let's just say that. God wants to speak to me. Say it as if you mean it. God wants to speak to me. Once more. God wants to speak to me. And maybe say that into the mirror later, because he does want to speak to you as his child. Just to bring this to conclusion, let me just summarize what we've said. We all struggle. We're all on a journey, and we're all moving towards more understanding in this area. And more importantly, we're moving more into being able to hear the Master's voice and follow him. God is speaking. God wants to speak to us. And in this series, we're going to have that journey together, hopefully coming out the other end much healthier in our Christian walks than we are right now. We're going to discover the variety in the ways in which God speaks, because God speaks in such variety. You know, some people see visions, some people have dreams, some people read Scripture and see it come alive and all the time. You know, some people walk out into an open field and they see God and they hear God in nature, in creation. Some people hear that inner still voice. Some people, in serving others, they hear the voice of God. There are a variety of ways in which God speaks, and we're going to discover that and explore that. So don't pigeonhole yourself and think, well, if God doesn't speak like that, then I'm a failure. God has created us all very different in different ways. And I just want to mention, just before we close, the special thing about God's word, because this is important. The word of God that we have in our Bibles is such a privileged thing. We have the written words of God, the very God-breathed words that we have in front of us in our various Bibles that we have. It has eternal and supernatural power, because it was the very thing breathed out by God. These words of God are living. They are active. They speak to us today. They have power because of the words of God when we read them. So read God's word and you will hear God speak. That's a guarantee. Read God's word and you will hear God speak, because they are his very words, and there's something powerful about them. It's the most simple, reliable, guaranteed way of hearing God speak. I have heard over the years some people who say, "I'll just put the Bible down, forget about the Bible, I just want to hear God speak." Well, the Bible is the words of God, and that's where we hear God speak most reliably, most concretely. There's no arguing with it, because it's there. There's no subjective experience. There's no distortion in between. There's just what God has said. So can I encourage you as a church on this journey, get to know God's word, because see, when it comes time to test and unpack some of the things that we feel God's saying in here, it's important that we know God's word that we can measure it against. Because what can happen is people can say and come somewhere and say, "I heard God tell me to do this." And see, if they don't know what God has already said in his word, sometimes there can be a massive conflict there and it can cause all sorts of difficulty. So it's important that we know what God has already said so that there isn't that conflict. So I want to say that again. It's the most simple, reliable, and guaranteed way of hearing God speak is reading God's word. Amen. What we want to do over the next coming weeks is overcome these difficulties about hearing God, work towards a better way of hearing God and walk in what God has said. And even this week, it can be a week of just putting some of this stuff into practice. And I just want to give you a few application points for this week. And I'm not going to dwell on them, I'm just going to list them. First thing is this: be happy because you're in a privileged position that you're in relationship with Almighty God. That's first thing. Because see, people that don't know God, they don't hear God speak. We are in a privileged position, so be happy that you're in a position where you have a relationship with Almighty God. Be happy. Be ready that God could speak at any moment. So this week, set your heart to be ready, where God could speak to you at any moment. Be intentional about listening out for him. As you go about your job, as you take the kids to school, as you sit at your office, be intentional about just listening out for maybe something that he wants to say. You will be amazed at what happens when you turn your attention to that voice, the voice of God. So be happy, be ready, be intentional, be still. That's a hard one, isn't it? There's so much going on, but we're told in Scripture, be still. Try to take time to just be quiet. Turn off the phone, turn off the TV, pull the phone out of the wall if you still have a landline phone. Be still. Shut out the clamor and the noise and every other conversation so that you can just listen to that still, small voice. And be responsive. And this is really key in this all, because we can hear God speak. And God might say something that might challenge us. He might say, I want you to stop doing that. I want you to live differently. See that what you were about to say or gossip about or slander about, I want you to cut that out right now. He could say something like that. And that's a challenge. But what we have to do then is be responsive. Not just say, oh, I heard God speak and he said this, but not do anything about it. We'll only be blessed when we do the things that he's told us to do. So be responsive. So there are just a few things that we can apply tonight or even this week as we walk into this journey together. Hopefully there's stuff there that can encourage you and inspire you about what's going on. And maybe it wasn't that inspirational because I'm Dan with a chest infection. Well, not Dan. That's a bit of an over-exaggeration, but I'm a guy, so I'm allowed to do that. Let's just pray together. Could we stand? Let me just pray as we bring this service to a close. Be happy, be ready, be intentional, be still, and be responsive. Let's just pray. Lord, I do thank you that we're in a privileged position that we know you as our Savior, that you've brought us into this wonderful relationship with you. You've called us like the children of Israel out of slavery into a place where we get to worship you and know you and walk in fellowship with you. Lord, I pray that this week and as we journey through this series together, we will be a people who know what it is more and more to be your sheep and hear your voice and follow you, Lord. We pray that the people in this room, Lord, even over these weeks, will discover hearing your voice and maybe seeing pictures or visions or maybe hearing instruction and clarity about their lives for maybe the first time, Lord. I pray that as we read your word as your people, you will illuminate things, you will quicken things to our hearts so we can walk in your purposes and in your will. But Lord, I just thank you that you're a God who still speaks. Lord, you're a God who still leads, who still guides, who still brings us comfort, Lord, through the wonderful ways that you do. And I pray that you would just help us all be more open to what you're saying. And Lord, help us be obedient to what you say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.